We're going to be learning about why Jesus is the only way and why he's so many different things. Why only Jesus? So we're going to start reading today in John 14 and verse 1. So if we'll stand if you can, and we'll honor God as we read God's word. These are the words Jesus spoke the night before he was going to die. The next day he knew he was going to the cross, and he was going to bear my sin and your sin, and he was going to die in our place. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Father, give us your glory today. Show it to us. Show us who Jesus Christ really is. Show us why he's the only way to eternal life. And Father, we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. How can Jesus be the only way to heaven? Just a few questions to kind of whet your appetite for the next series we're going to be doing. Is God real? How can you know for sure? Is the Bible really the Word of God? How can you know for sure? Can Jesus forgive your sins and can Jesus save you? How can you know for sure? Why Jesus? What makes him able to do what he says he can do? And who gives him the power to do it? Today we're going to kick off our series, Why Certain Things That We Believe Are True, and why we should not only believe those things, but we should encourage others to believe exactly what we do. Do you understand you are by far in the minority of people that believe what we believe? We're not the majority, we're by far the minority. And so when you're in the minority of a belief system, you really better know why you believe what you believe. Can others all be wrong? Well, the truth of the matter is, yes, they can, if they've got another way of salvation. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, "But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord." What does that word Lord mean? That means he's my creator God. That means he's the sovereign of the universe. That means he's Lord of lords and King of kings. That means he's going to rule forever. So, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason of the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. God says, don't just say what you believe, know why you believe it. You should be able to give a reasoned defense. It doesn't mean you're going to convince everybody with your reasoned defense, but you should really know, why do I believe what I say I believe? Why am I convinced that Jesus Christ is the only way? Why am I convinced that Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh? Why am I convinced that the Bible is really the very living Word of God? Everything we believe is based on what's written in Scripture, and you have a very strange belief, according to the world system, that you believe one book is the truth. That's exactly what we believe. And so we need to know why we believe it and be able to explain that to others. Because one day, you're going to have a family. Maybe you already had a family. One day, you're going to have grandchildren. Maybe you already have grandchildren. One day, you're going to have great-grandchildren. Maybe you already do. But I want to tell you this. God wants to use you in their lives. God wants to use you to tell them why they should place their faith in Jesus Christ too. And if you fail on that mission, I hate to tell you this, but you failed in life. You can be a doctor, you can be a president, you can be whatever office or job you want, but if you fail to tell your family that there's one way to eternal life, you have failed. Folks, we need to be very clear about this, because even in the evangelical church today, people don't believe what the Bible very clearly teaches. In USA Today, they recently ran an article, and they were quoting a Pew Research article that said 34% of evangelicals reject the truth that Jesus Christ is the only Savior. That means a third of the people that are going to good Bible-preaching churches, a third of those people don't believe what the Bible teaches. That's not good. The same study said that 29% of evangelical churches, that would include us with a lot of other churches that have like faith, of those that attend those churches, 29% believe that good works will save them. Folks, that's not good news. That's bad. Almost a third believe that their good works are going to save them. 30% say salvation is through Jesus Christ, and we're glad that at least a third believe salvation is through faith in Christ. 10%, they were saved by a combination of belief and work. Folks, that means almost half of the people that attend evangelical churches similar to ours, half of them don't know for sure they're saved. They don't know for sure that they've received Christ. Another article in the Christian Post reported 60% of self-described born-again Christians do not believe Jesus is the only way to heaven. 60%. Is the church in trouble? I want to tell you, the church is in trouble when almost half, or over half, believe there's another way. We are in trouble. We have to come back to the Bible as the foundation of truth. We have to come back to the faith. Salvation is found only through Jesus Christ. We have to come back to these things, because if we don't, what's the message the church is preaching? You can come any way you want to, and God's just going to accept you. No, he's not. That's the clear teaching of Scripture. He's not. Many people today follow what pop singers or sports athletes say. Madonna was on TV a while ago, and she said, she made this statement, always lead to God. What she said again, she said it twice, always lead to God. If you have faith, it doesn't matter what faith you have. If you have any faith, all the faith leads to God. If you believe a frog is your savior and you really believe that, you're on your way. Folks, what Madonna says, some of it may be true, but that is not true. We have to come to the point where we say there's one way. You know, we think of heaven sometimes as a place like we do, say, Chicago. If I wanted to go to Chicago today, I could jump in my car, I could drive down south, go around the Lake Michigan, and come up into Chicago. Or I could choose to go through the Upper Peninsula, come around the side, and come down through Wisconsin and go down into Chicago. Lots of ways. I could fly there. I could ride a bike. I really could. It'd take me a few days to get there, but I could ride a bike to Chicago. I could walk. I could take the boat across Lake Michigan. Lots of ways to Chicago. So how does the Bible come off saying there's only one way to heaven? Because there is. There's only one way. Heaven is a place that you have to enter the way God says to enter it, or you won't enter it. Many people think they're going to get there by their own good works, but the Bible proclaims very clearly, salvation is through faith in Jesus Christ's shed blood alone. In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, But whoever does not believe stands condemned already. Doesn't that seem awful to you? That's an awful statement. If you are here today in this room and you haven't personally placed your faith in Jesus Christ, that verse says you're condemned before God. You don't have any hope of eternal life. You don't have any way to get there except the one way. That is an awful verse. I got to admit it. I don't like that verse. I wish there were lots of ways. I wish you could believe whatever you want and still make it. But God says, no, that's not right. He says, whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they've not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Why are they condemned? Not because they didn't keep the law, not because they don't go to church, but they didn't believe in God's only begotten Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. It's through faith in Jesus Christ alone. The Bible makes it very clear. It's not Christ plus something. If you want to learn for sure on this and you want to go deeper, start coming to Sunday school. We're teaching the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians makes it very clear. It's not by the deeds of the law. It's through simple faith in Jesus Christ. Other religions, and I got to tell you, there are more people that believe other things than there are Christians. And the majority of the Christians we just talked about said they believe you can get there lots of ways. So I just want to go through a few of the major religions and what they believe so you realize I'm not saying we are the smartest people that ever lived. What I'm saying is God has revealed the truth to us. That's what I'm saying. Hinduism, Buddhism, and Baha'i believe that hard work and wisdom will lead to ultimate fulfillment of living forever. Zoroastrianism and Islam believe it's your works that will get you to heaven. If you don't do what they tell you to do, you are not going to have eternal life. Scientology and Jainism believe in freedom and independence. You can get there any way you want to get there. Unitarianism and Wicca, the afterlife is what you make it. You're making it now. Whatever you do now is going to be what you're going to get in afterlife. Atheism, Shintoism, Taoism, and Confucianism believe there is no life after death. This is it. When you close the box, the casket, you cease to exist. You're just dust. So when you have all these different religions teaching all these different things, why in the world would you possibly place your faith in a minor religion? Because it is minor in this world. The vast majority of people on this earth do not believe what we believe. So why have you got your faith there? I've risked my eternity on the fact that I believe Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. I believe he lived a perfect life that I cannot live, and he died in my place to save my soul. That's what I believe. I hope you believe the same thing. The Bible tells us there's one gate to heaven. Remember we said we can go to Chicago lots of different ways? The Bible says very clearly there's one way to get to eternal life. In John chapter 10, verse 7, therefore Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. Heaven is unlike any other destination you're going to go to. There is one way to get in. It reminds us of the Old Testament. Remember the book of Genesis when the flood came? And God told Noah, Noah, you prepare an ark. Anybody who will get on that ark is going to be saved from the flood because the whole world was going to be flooded. Noah built the ark, and for 120 years he preached to people, if you'll trust God, he'll save you when the flood comes. Well, the flood came. There was one door on that boat. You couldn't get in on both sides. You couldn't get in the front or the back. One door. Whoever would go through that door would be saved from the flood. Noah and his three sons and their wives, eight people went through that door, and eight people were saved. We think there's going to be millions and millions and billions and billions of people in heaven. Jesus said, maybe not. He said, the way is narrow. It's not broad that leads to eternal life. You need to be sure that you've got this right, because you are going to live forever. Whether you know that or not, yes, this body, I'm going to put it off one of these days. But I'm either going to go to heaven or I'm going to the lake of fire. That's the clear teaching of Scripture. There is no halfway. There's no purgatory. There's no cleansing your sins later. Either you've dealt with it or you haven't dealt with it. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, Jesus said, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Are the majority going to heaven? I'll tell you the truth. The majority of people that have lived on this earth are not going to have eternal life. They're going to have eternal damnation, separated from God for all eternity. Not because they're any more wicked than we are. There are some wonderful people I know. They're just the nicest neighbors, nicest people you ever want to meet. But they have not trusted Christ. Skeptics always say it's narrow-minded to believe that Jesus is the only way. I got to tell you the truth. It is narrow-minded. That's really narrow. But if I say 3 plus 3 equals 18, you're going to say, that's not the truth. That's not right. Why would you say that? Because when you got about 5 years old, your teacher began to teach you math. Maybe your parents did even before you were five. 3 plus 3 always equals what? 6. It always will, it always has, and it always will forever. It's simply the truth. You can be broad-minded if you want to and say 3 plus 3 equals 18, but you're going to be wrong. Period. It isn't just what I believe, it's what's the truth. If I take 3 fingers here and 3 fingers here, I've got 6 fingers sticking up. That's it. And so we're not trying to make up truth. We're simply saying God has said this is truth. Now, you can believe Jesus Christ and what he said, or you can believe Madonna if you want to. I'm not going to twist your arm and tell you you got to get saved. You do what you want to do. But I want to tell you, know that if Jesus Christ is who he claimed to be, if he really is my creator God that came to this earth to pay for my sin, you better believe him. Madonna, if you watch her life, you study her, you say, I don't think I want to follow her. I don't think I want to wind up where she's winding up. It's not because she's evil. It's because she thinks there's many ways to heaven. Folks, you have to narrow this down. You've got to nail this down. You've got to know this yourself. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you'll know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. So let's take a second today and just consider some of the things that Jesus said about himself. Things like, I am the first and I'm the last. Do you know what that means? That means Jesus existed before anything else. He's the first. And after everything else on this earth ceased to exist on this earth, Jesus is still going to exist. He's the first and the last. He says, I'm the self-existing one. In Revelation 1:17, Jesus, when he saw him, fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead and now look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. Three times in that verse, Jesus said, I am. Do you know what saying I am means? I am is the covenant name of God. It's Jehovah God. Jesus is saying he is our creator God. Come in the flesh. It's a wonderful truth, and you really have to know that. If you need your sins forgiven, Jesus said, I can do that. Folks, all of us have sinned. The Bible makes it very clear. I need my sins forgiven. There's nothing I can do to get my sins forgiven except believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 2, verse 1, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get to him, Jesus, because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then they lowered the man that was lying on it. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, Son, your sins are forgiven. Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, who does this fellow talk like that? Who is he? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven? Or to say, get up and take your mat and walk. But I want you to know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take up your mat, and go home. He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we've never seen anything like this. Folks, Jesus Christ has the power to forgive your sins. He forgave mine 54 years ago, and he continues to forgive mine every time I confess when I fall short, because I still fall short. I need daily cleansing of my sin. In fact, hour by hour cleansing, and he's always there. Do you want to know how you should live properly? Jesus Christ tells you that too. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he'll reward each person according to what they have done. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, not me, to him. Folks, I want to be very clear here. Jesus Christ is Creator God. Jesus Christ is who Moses and the Israelites followed through the Red Sea. It says the rock they followed was Christ. Folks, Jesus Christ has been around a long time. He's God who made you. In your mother's womb, God formed you to be the person you are. And God loves you, and he loved you enough to die for you. And all he's asking you is put your faith in him. If what Jesus Christ said, the verses I just read to you, if he's wrong in only 1% of those things, we're here for nothing. But if he's right in 100% of them, we're here rejoicing because we placed our faith in Christ. I'm going to heaven not because I'm a good person. I'm a sinner just like everybody else. I'm going to heaven because I believe in a Savior who is God. Jehovah saves. That's what Jesus' names mean, whether you know it or not. The name Jesus means Jehovah saves. In the Old Testament, David said, I praise God, my Savior. David needed a Savior. Mary, the mother of our Lord, told Elizabeth, I praise God, my Savior. Mary needed a Savior. There's nothing wrong with saying you need a Savior. One of Jesus' greatest claims is found in John chapter 10, verse 25. Jesus answered, "I did tell you." They asked him if he's the Christ. "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will be able to snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who's given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." I want to share some verses with you today, and I have shared quite a few already. But Jesus Christ really is the only way. It's like 3 plus 3 equals 6. It's that simple. It's the truth. So I want you to look at Hosea 13:4. So I want to read this to you because Hosea 13:4 is such an important verse in the scripture. "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt. You shall acknowledge no God but me, no Savior except me." Do you understand who Jesus is claiming to be? He's claiming to be God. "You shall acknowledge no God but Jehovah and no Savior except Jehovah God, Creator God." If Jesus is not Creator God, he can't be your Savior. If Jesus was a created being, if Jesus was just a man who was a good man and a teacher, he can't be your Savior. He has to be God. And it's so important you understand that. So, with that in mind, in your bulletin, or I guess we passed them out, those pieces of paper, if you can bring that up now, Dave. Jesus said many, many I am statements. I'm not going to take time to read every one of these because we'd be here till 12:30, 1 o'clock getting done. But I want you to know you really need to know these statements. You need to know in your heart, this is what I believe. This is the truth. Jesus said some statements, absolute statements, in John chapter 6, verse 20, chapter 8, verse 24, I think it is. It's hard for me to see that far. Verse 28, verse 58, and verse 18, verse 5. And then he made some metaphorical statements claiming I am. And a lot of people will tell you, by saying I am, Jesus never meant I'm Jehovah, because you don't understand the language. Well, the people who did understand the language two different times took up stones to stone him to death because they said, "You being a man, claim to be God." Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." If you want to live that's full, that you can grow on, you get to know Jesus Christ. He'll feed you all the days of your life. He said, "I am the light of the world." If you don't walk with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are going to be in darkness all through your life. You're not going to know what life is about. You're not going to know what happens after this. And you're not going to be happy with the end result. Jesus said, "I am the door of the sheep." One door, no more. If he's right, he's right. If he's wrong, just ignore it. Live your life any way you want to. But one day you're going to find out he was right. Number 4, I am the good shepherd. Number 5, I am the resurrection and the life. He told that to a woman whose brother had just passed away. He was there and he said, he's going to rise today. Folks, and he did. Nobody else can do that but God. He said, number 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That was our key verse for today, John 14:6. You need to memorize that verse. You need to know that in your heart. You need to believe that in your heart. There is no other way. Yes, the majority of the people on this earth believe there's another way, or many ways, or any way will do. But if Jesus really is God, if he really our Creator God, I want to believe him. Not all the other voices, because they're wrong. And then the last one. I am the true vine. Jesus said, I'm the true vine and my Father's the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. But those that are fruitful, those that are trying to live for God's glory, he says he prunes them so they'll be even more fruitful. Folks, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, that can fill your life. You can be that person to your children that you really need to be. You can love them not to death. You can love them to life. They respect you when they're little teeny. You are, in a sense, God to them. They believe whatever you say because you are the all-knowing one for a little while. But it's a little while. You need to take advantage of that. You need to teach them what they need to know, that Jesus Christ is the only hope they have. So what are the proofs? We're talking about Jesus being God and Jesus being the only way. What are the proofs we find that Jesus really is God and that Jesus really is the only Savior? We're going to start looking at it this morning and we're going to finish it tonight. But the Old Testament predicted it exactly as we see it played out in the life of Christ. Nobody else, no other man, ever did all the things Jesus did that were according to the Scripture. So I want to start you in Isaiah 52, verse 13. See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, because the Bible says when Jesus hung on that cross, you couldn't tell if he was a half a beef or a man. They had beat him to a pulp. His appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form marred more beyond human likeness. So he will sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see. And what they have not heard, they will understand. Who has believed our message? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground, he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and he bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and his sheep before his shearers is silent. So he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. And after he has suffered, he'll see the light of life and will be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many. He'll bear their iniquity. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and I will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life on the death and was numbered with the transgressor. Therefore, for he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. I know that's a fairly lengthy reading, but how many prophecies were fulfilled by Jesus Christ in his lifetime? I want to tell you, there's a dozen or better in that little short portion of Scripture, and Jesus Christ fulfilled every one perfectly. People say, well, how many years before Jesus was born was that written? I want to tell you, 700 years. Before Jesus Christ was ever born, that was written. And he fulfilled every single one. Folks, nobody else can do that. There are many people that have claimed to be Christ. In fact, in Jesus Christ's lifetime, there were 8 Jewish men that claimed that they were the Messiah. There's been over 40 Jewish men in history that have claimed to be the Messiah. But none of them fulfilled the prophecy. Jesus Christ is the only one. So the question we have to really ask, and that has to be answered, how do we know Jesus of Nazareth is really the promised Messiah? We know it because of fulfilled prophecy. The Old Testament, there are hundreds of messianic prophecies given about the coming Messiah who is going to be the Savior of the world. And Jesus Christ fulfilled every one. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. How many virgin births have there been in the history of mankind, in the history of all the animal species? There's been one. Just one. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. That means Jesus Christ had no human father, as all of us do. The reason for that is because Jesus Christ was born without a sin nature, as you and I have. And he could fulfill the law. I can't, and you can't. You want to give yourself a test on that. Learn the 10 commandments, just the 10. There are over 365, but you just learn the 10. And then you determine with all your heart, for just one day, you're going to keep all 10. I did that. Pastor Williams, my old pastor, challenged me with that. 15 minutes into my test for the day, the Lord tapped me on the shoulder and said, Jerry, you just broke the 10 commandments. I couldn't believe it. 15 minutes. And I probably broke it before that. I want to tell you, you can't keep the law. Neither can I. But we have a Savior who did. In Luke chapter 1, verse 31, talking about this virgin birth, the angel told Mary, you will conceive and give birth to a son. And you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Folks, Mary was a virgin when she gave birth to our Lord Jesus Christ. That's impossible with men. But it's not impossible with God. God can do anything he chooses to do. And God chose that he would become a man. He would live a perfect life like we can't, and that he would take all of our sins upon him on the cross, and that's what we read there in Isaiah, take all of our sin and pay for it all. And what does he ask of you and me? He has simple faith, just to believe what he said. The Bible says Abraham believed God, and he counted it to him as righteous. You have a choice today. You can choose to believe what Jesus Christ said and place your whole faith in him and be saved, or you can choose not to. You have a free will. You have a free you're a free moral agent. You can do what you think best. But before you decline it, you better think it through. If Jesus is wrong and he wasn't who he claimed to be and you decline it, you haven't lost a thing. But suppose just for a second that Jesus Christ really is God, that God loved you so much that he paid a price for your sin, and you reject that. Folks, there is no hope if Jesus is right. Again, you have to come to that in your own mind. I can't put that in there. God has to put that in there. John chapter 6, verse 44 says, unless the Father draws them, they cannot come to me. I'm praying today for you that God is drawing you, if you haven't received him yet, that you might place your entire faith in what another has done for you, because you can't do it, and neither can I. Father, we rejoice in your love and your goodness. We rejoice, Lord, that you give us the choice. We can believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and according to your word, gain eternal life right at that second. Or we can choose to reject what you're saying in your word, because for some reason we don't believe there's enough evidence or enough truth or enough proof. But Father, we have literally thousands of prophecies fulfilled in your word, telling us about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus said to the men of his time that rejected him, you diligently study the scriptures because in them you believe you have eternal life. But you failed to trust. Folks, we need to be careful here. I pray, Lord, that you'll work in each heart, that each one will know for sure in their own heart that they have trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And Father, we'll give you the praise today in Jesus' holy name. Amen.